We open this morning with God's word from the book of Jeremiah, which interestingly enough, in chapter 17, is where I'm reading the first couple of verses from. Might be a little hard to follow me this morning because I'm skipping, but it's okay. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The Lord searches the heart and examines the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve." And if you go to chapter 14, verse 10, we read these words. This is what the Lord says about his people. "They greatly love to wander. They do not restrain their feet, so the Lord does not accept them. He will remember their wickedness and punish them for their sins." Now, these two passages say a lot about the problem of sin in the human race. Going on from Pastor Jeff's series of sermons on the world, and of course, this being our second week on Jeremiah, last week we looked at his call and what he was called to do in the middle of a very messy world at the time. And now we see that the problem of sin in the human race can be drawn to the deceitful heart. The fact that the heart is deceitful allows mankind to rebel against God by pursuing sinful activities, a lot of times in a way where they don't even think about it. We know that Jeremiah was called to warn the people of Judah about their sinful behaviors and to warn them of God's judgment. Because even though we like to always think of God as a loving and merciful God, God also is a God of judgment. God expects to punish sin. Now, the people of Judah actually admitted their sins. If you look at Jeremiah 14, verse 7, it says that, "Although our sins testify against us, O Lord, do something for the sake of your name. For our backsliding is great. We have sinned against you." That's Jeremiah 14, 7. So in spite of their admission of sin, Jeremiah's book tells us the people refused to repent. They refused to turn around from their wicked ways, and therefore God rejected their plea. Even though they plead to God, "Please help us," their refusal to repent was refused. I'm not sure that that's a whole lot different. And we talked about this, I guess, in Bible study some this week. Of the world around us where people refuse to accept responsibility for their own behaviors in much of the world today. There's a common thread of redirecting responsibility for people's actions to some other source. I don't know whether you watch the health care debate on CNN, but at the end of the whole thing, everybody was blaming somebody else. No no matter who they interviewed, it was always somebody else's fault. Did you notice that? Nobody. With the exception possibly of the speaker when he stood up, he was the only one that accepted maybe a small portion of responsibility for what had happened. It's too easy to deflect the blame. It's the way my mother brought me up. Or I lived in a bad neighborhood. But you know, it doesn't cut it. The people cried out to God in Jeremiah's day, but refused to accept responsibility for what they were doing. In North America, we seek answers from a multitude of self-help and positive thinking resources. We turn to television responsibilities, and we think, or personalities, and we think Dr. Phil's got all the answers. That's what people think. We look at programs of self-help. Our shelves in our bookstores are full of self-help kinds of things. Programs, activities that we can do, how we can build our self-esteem. But in almost all those situations, the truth about a living God is not even considered. And people who even call themselves Christians often don't even miss them. That's the hard part. People that identify themselves as Christians don't even miss them. So God directed Jeremiah in his day to confront the people of Judah about their sin. Somebody said in Bible study the other day, we never hear a sermon on sin anymore. Well, here goes. And don't be throwing hymn books. Remember that the people of Judah were God's chosen people. They had a covenant relationship with him. He had set them apart. He had promised them a land. He had promised them great multitudes of people. Despite that, they turned away from him. Jeremiah had to confront them about their false religion and their slide into immoral behavior. Chapter 3, verse 9 tells us, because Israel's immorality mattered so little to her, she defiled the land and committed adultery with stone and wood. Now remember, these people had a covenant relationship. They had a relationship with God. And yet they turned to false idols. That's what it means when they're talking about stone and wood. They had carved out of stone and wood false idols. They were praying to those false idols, and it's referred to as spiritual adultery because they were leaving God, the God with whom they had a relationship, and moved over to worship these false idols. And even though there were some spiritual reforms taken under one of the kings, because remember, Jeremiah served for 42 years, he outlived five different kings. There were a few spiritual reforms under one of those kings. Chapter 3, verse 10 says, in spite of that, Judah did not return to me with all her heart, but only in pretense. Excuse me. Now, how did they practice their religion in pretense? I want you to think about it. How did they practice their religion in pretense? They did it by indicating they were worshiping God, but at the same time, their hearts were seeking false gods. Is that not a picture of the false religion that is so prevalent in our society today? People indicating that they're Christian. People indicating that they believe in God. And then they say things like, but I don't need to go to church. Or, the church really doesn't speak to me, but I still believe. It doesn't cut it. It's false religion. Think about the liberal preaching that's going on in so many of our churches that promotes all people into heaven, whether they believe or not. Happening in a lot of our churches. We have cults surrounding us. Not popular to talk about it, but they surround us. Humanism, animal worship, false evangelical groups, prosperity teaching on TV, where the preacher stands up and says, I want all of you to have 4 Cadillacs. It's there. You've got to turn on the TV. Seeker-sensitive churches. Big thing that's happening in some areas. That we should go find out what people want. Folks, it's not what we want that should be going on in church. It's what God wants. It's what God has directed us to be. It has nothing to do with what we want. It never did and never will. Despite this, all of those various kinds of so-called religion parade themselves in society as truth. Does this not point to the need for every single Christian know what the scriptures say? How can we tell what is false and what is truth unless we know the scriptures ourselves? It's the very answer. Jeremiah even gives us information and details about the leaders of the people, the false teachers. Jeremiah 5 and 13. Excuse me. Says the prophets are but wind, and the word is not in them. And then Jeremiah 5, 30 and 31. Says this, a shocking thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy lies, the priests rule by their own authority, and my people love it this way. What does that mean? The prophets were windbags. Said, that's all they were. Just windbags. God's word was not in them. They preached platitudes. They preached psychology. They preached possibility thinking. Their own ideas were more important than the word of God, and they had no respect for God's word. It was only 600 years later than this. The Apostle Paul wrote the following words to Timothy, and this is from 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. He wrote these words to Timothy, saying, "The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead," excuse me, "instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." Understand what's happening in this secular age. Our leaders and our churches have abandoned God to try and do what people want. What's happening as a result is that churches are closing all around us. God does not support the work that doesn't support Him. It's as simple as that. Jeremiah said, "My people love it this way." And Paul said, "They'll turn their ears away from the truth." Jeremiah warned the people of Judah that God was going to pronounce judgment on them. And two of the sins were related to these religious practices: false religion and corrupt leadership. The third sin that God identifies for Jeremiah to confront is the preoccupation that Judah's people had with sexual perversion. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 2, he declared, "You have defiled the land with your prostitution and wickedness." I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but do we not live in a time that sexual immorality and perversion surrounds us? Turn on your TV for an evening and try and find a decent show. It's a challenge. And part of the challenge is related to sexual perversion. It's all around us, everywhere. The fourth sin that was widespread in Judah was the absence of truth and the proliferation of deceit within the population. Do you remember the little story I told last week? From Jeremiah 5, where God challenged them to go in through the streets of Jerusalem to find one person who deals honestly and seeks the truth. And God said He would forgive them if they could find one person. No one was found. And God's judgment was still before the people of Judah. I can't help but think how we're bombarded with information through the widespread use of technology, and we too can be deceived. I know that Mr. Trump calls it fake news. I don't know what to call it half the time. But the point is, we can all be deceived. That's what we need to understand. the one place that we're not deceived is identified for us in John chapter 14, verse 6, where our Lord and Savior said these words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In every age, that truth stands. It is God through His Word that provides truth to people. That never changes, ever. It has remained the same for centuries and centuries. In Jeremiah's days, the Lord told him that the people have returned to the sins of their forefathers who refused to listen to my words." He goes back to that and back to that and back to it. Refused to listen to my words. And he says, "I will bring them a disaster they cannot escape. Although they cry out to me, I will not listen to them." From Jeremiah chapter 11. The end result of it, God worked through a whole group of people who didn't even know him, the Babylonians. Through the Babylonians, he executed judgment on Judah, destroyed Jerusalem, and made all the people captive and hauled away from their land. It's interesting what one of my favorite preachers says about this, John MacArthur. He says, "The sins are always the same when a nation stands on the brink of the judgment of God, because God has never changed." And he goes on to say, "And frankly, if God doesn't destroy America, he'll have to apologize to Judah because we've done all the same things that they did that brought their judgment." Interesting point. That's out of a sermon that MacArthur did called "A Warning to Christians in a Dying Nation." So what can we say about 2017? What does all this teach us? Well, the heart never changes. It's still deceitful. Sin is still rampant in every generation. We all say, "Oh, it can never get any worse than this. It was just as bad as this in Judah's day. Just a different way." Stuart had lent me the book, "Is This the End?" by Dr. David Jeremiah. He reported that in Israel, they're back in their homeland. And yes, we're supposed to support the Jews in Israel. But they are still alienated from God as a nation in 2017. Ethnic Israelis who are Christians represent 0.5% of the entire population of Israel. 0.5% of the entire population. Now we know that many of them will be saved in the future. God's word tells us that. But certainly at their situation at this time and place in 2017, as a nation, they are far removed from God. What about North America? Well, you can't get many statistics for Canada, but you can get lots for the USA. There's a group called the Barna Research Group that publishes a lot of material statistics for Christianity in the U.S. Most recent things that I picked up very quickly were that 31% of people in the USA identify as people who actually practice their faith. Now, 70-some percent call themselves Christian, but only 31% say they practice their faith. Only 7% are born again evangelical Christians who believe in the biblical doctrines that we accept in this church. Only 7%. Yet at the same time, the majority of Americans believe that good works will carry them to heaven. So how badly has the church failed to get the message out? How badly have we failed? Let's go back to where we started this morning. The heart is deceitful above all things. The Lord will reward a man according to his conduct, according to his belief. As a church, we have no choice in the direction that we take in the future. None. We have zero choice. We follow God's word. And as Paul told Timothy, we preach the word, we be prepared in season and out of season, we correct each other, we rebuke one another, and we encourage one another. And it says, with great patience and careful instruction. All of us need to encourage each other. We need to correct each other when we're wrong. We need to be patient with one another. And we need to give careful instruction. Isaiah told his people a long time ago that God's word will not return void, meaning it will always accomplish something. And Matthew's gospel tells us that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. God is still in control. Pastor Jeff and the worship team did some beautiful music this morning, all relating to God being in control. Let's be sure that each one of us is ready to continue to serve our Lord and Savior in this community as we embark on this great new project. It's even more important that we draw closer to